Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And I am super happy to be here. And I know I say that like every single week, but it's true. I am super happy to be here because I get to hang out with really cool, super smart people. And every single one of them is beautiful as well. What more could I possibly ask for? But maybe cake. So now I have a goal, all of this and cake. Yeah, I like that.
I'll take one.
Okay,
let's
great.
Cake. One piece.
Well, mm-hmm. Actually one cake. I'll take the entire cake.
Yeah, that was my assumption. A cake, okay. A whole cake. Yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, go big or go home, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And my cake enabler, Patrice, how are you?
Well, I mean, I live in Austria and soon in Vienna. So yeah, that kind of tracks, I would say.
Yeah, I think so.
A lot of cakes here. No, I'm okay. Like, we have a trade fair next week, so nights are short, days are long, all of that. But I had a really nice dinner yesterday with some friends, and we had way too much food. But it was good.
Awesome. Good for you.
Yeah, and all vegetarian. So I had my first asparagus for the year. I had a really nice asparagus risotto. I had... what's the name? What does that translate to? That's a good question. I don't know. It's like an herb that kind of smells garlicky and like grows in forests mostly. I'm blanking on the name.
Not tarragon?
No, it's not tarragon. Yeah, but I had a really nice salad with that. Basically as greens.
In that case, it's Cherville's one, and then there's another one. What's it called?
I'll just ask my app. In German, it's Bärlauch. So I don't know. It says Buckrams, Ramsen, Bärlauch. Wild garlic is probably
wild garlic. Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably
okay. That would account for the garlic flavor.
Yeah, as a salad, it's like it's everywhere here right now. Like they put it in everything, like noodles and rice and salads and like it's literally like bread and so on. Like you find it everywhere, but it's like the season is short. Like it starts right now, and like in a month or a month and a half, it's gone.
Yeah,
so it's quite.
We see it here as well. It grows in the woods here as well.
Yeah.
I think people really realize it's edible. People don't realize it's edible, though. I think here, I think it needs to be more well known, because you walk past and you get that wonderful smell, you get that garlicky smell.
Yeah, you get that garlic smell. And you're like,
yeah,
I remember that. Yeah, that's it. So I had that and some, like another. It's kind of like a filled crepe that's very Austrian. Palatschinken, it's called. Mm-hmm. We had that like a New York cheesecake palatschinken. So. With some really nice homemade ice cream. So it was
just
really
sounds
good.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Mm.
So I'm very happy, and I'm very happy to be here, even if it's a little early. I ran out of time, so I'm good. And I watched, I'm just going to say one thing, OMG Picard. That's all I'm saying.
Did they nail that landing or
oh,
what?
Hell yes.
Holy crap.
Yes.
Yeah.
I cried. I looked like a panda. Like I watched it for for my lunch break, and I looked like a panda after. And actually, someone called me, and I didn't even notice. I was like, I was still so in it. I was like, and then afterwards, I looked in the camera. And I'm like, oh, I have to probably fix that.
Yeah,
I cried.
Yeah,
it was that good.
Yeah, now I'm totally wondering if we can get Memoji into the show somehow and make Patrice actually a panda.
Oh, we can probably do that.
Oh, we can totally do that.
Yeah, yeah. Zoom will let you do that.
I sat down. I actually set an alarm so I could get up early to watch the episode. And when I sat down on the couch, I had like a bottle of water with me, and I put a blanket on me, and I had Kleenex there. Because I expected that I was going to need it at some point during the show. And yes,
you
of course I did. Yeah. It, It was awesome. And I will give no spoilers. I won't even go so far as to say, but I'll tell you about this one. No.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. All we're saying is OMG. That's it.
Yeah. Yes. OMG. That's all we can say about it under penalty of death.
Yeah. Yes. I will say, I will risk my life and say one thing. Picard is in it.
Oh, damn it. No, you just ruined the whole thing.
Exactly. No, he spoiled it.
Man, I'm glad I saw it before you said that, because I would have been so pissed off to find out that Picard's in Star Trek Picard. Oh my God.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. Mr. Pointless Spoiler himself, Ben, how are you?
I'm good. I would like to wish everyone either a happy Keith or Sutherland Day, or the state holiday of Colorado, depending on how you format your dates.
I'm for Keith or Sutherland.
Let's go with Keith or Sutherland. But hold on, I have to look and see what the date is.
20th of the 4th.
Oh my God. Okay. That's just sad when you drop a joke that involves a date and I have to look at a calendar to see what today is.
Yeah, especially when the date is so intrinsically connected to your home state.
Yeah, well, you know.
Isn't it a holiday in Colorado? 420?
It should be.
Every day is a holiday in Colorado. Some days more so than others. All I can say is that I think that every convenience store in the state has already been cleaned out of all its junk food.
Yes. All the Doritos are gone, yeah.
Yep.
The munchies have been assimilated.
Yep. And they did a test of the emergency siren, which for us is typically for floods, and instead of going, it was just really loud. Yeah, we do have one Taco Bell in town, and it closes early because they've never been able to get staffing for late night shift, which is crazy because Taco Bell and 420, hello.
That's it.
Well, they'll be running out of food by the end of lunch.
59-cent tacos. When I was in high school, it was 59-cent tacos. It was the best.
No, they run out of food by 4:20 in the morning.
Right. And considering the staffing issues they've always had for this one, it'll be 4:20 this afternoon, and they'll just go ahead and close down. Yeah.
As most of that has gone like that over the top of my head, I've just had to Google and realize you Americans put your dates around the wrong way, and now I realize.
Yeah, that's why I said it's either the state holiday of Colorado or Keith or Sutherland Day.
Yeah.
24.
Yeah, 20. Well, I was going for 24. I was going for 24 because that made more sense to me, rather than 420 and the associated pharmaceutical benefits thereof.
Yes.
Well, herbal. I should say, really, herbal benefits thereof.
Yeah.
Well, from a fellow pharmaceutically forward state, Tom, how are you?
I'm doing good, Jeff. This conversation is bringing back memories of late night Taco Bell runs for various reasons, and
because you were hungry,
right? We just were hungry. I think the tacos were like 59 cents. You know, you could buy a whole bag of them for a couple bucks.
So, funny story: Phoenix has a cookie store called Totally Baked, and they deliver between 4 p.m. and 4 a.m.
Somebody,
there's a cookie bakery place here in Boulder named the same.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's the same. I don't know.
It might be the same. I don't know. But yeah, it's like right in the middle of downtown. Totally baked.
Totally baked. I love that. Didn't Ben and Jerry's have a flavor called Totally Baked?
They probably do. And now that I think about it, the Totally Baked and the Ben and Jerry's are less than a block apart from each other. Huh.
That's not a coincidence.
All the world, cookies and ice cream, all the things you need in the world.
Right. Sadly, right, the pizza place that was close by, it was part of a chain called Old Chicago that went completely out of business. So the trifecta, you know, the cookies, the ice cream, and the pizza, all there. It was the golden triangle of food. Yeah. And the pizza part is gone now.
Yeah, all the three basic food groups. That's pretty good.
Right.
Yeah. And
now think of all the people in Boulder that are self-medicating and then going hungry because they can't handle all three food groups now.
Yes. Well, go to the 7-Eleven, get your Doritos, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, yep. The show has been Totally Baked forever.
Yep. Yep. And our token Brit who did not get the weed reference because they do dates the way the rest of the world does and not like the US, Ian.
Indeed. How are you? I'm very well, thank you. The usual week for me, I'm still testing labs and getting things ready for new runner classes we'll be running in a couple of months, in a month's time or so. And so, yeah, it's all good. Prepping a presentation for our a big event. I'm not going to get to go to Miami, which is a bit sad, but we will be doing a video on demand thing that people go to our conference to be able to see it. So there's stuff to do and things. So it's all good. Other than that, yeah, sun's out in England for a while. I'm not sure how long it will last, but we've had sunny few days and the lights are night. I can sit in the garden, read my book for a while. So the world is good.
Nice. You know, the last time I was in London was, I think it was in 2019.
Mm-hmm. And, sounds about right, yeah.
And I had to wear sunscreen every day, which was weird.
Yep.
I mean, I could see the sky. I could see the sun.
Yeah, does happen. But,
and I had to double check and make sure the plane was summer. In the right place. Yeah.
I mean, it is. I mean, as global warming is improving our climate a lot,
that's true.
It does seem to be that we get longer summers now than we ever used to. The rainy winters are now starting to go. Rainy summers are starting to go away a bit more. And yeah, we did have one year where we didn't really get that snap of cold in the winter either. It stayed teens and early sort of ones and twos, but didn't really get fully to a snap one or two years. So I think global warming is genuinely changing. I mean, The thing we've got to worry about is the water levels start rising. Certain bits of the UK will disappear.
Yeah, I mean, you can grow wine. Well. You can grow wine now in UK. You couldn't before. So
yeah,
definitely. That's kind of crazy.
It is. It's going to crack us some of the changes that sort of the weather's right. Bringing. I'm outside my window. I've got lovely blossoms on my cherry tree. So the world is good.
Awesome. And now I'm just picturing British wine. And the image I have in my head, it's still beer and it's still coming out of a keg into a pint glass. And my brain cannot process yet the concept of wine that's grown and produced in the UK.
That Wench and I told you about the delicacy that can passed off as wine in the UK, a thing called Buckfast.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you remember me talking about Buckfast again? Yep, fast.
Yeah.
It was a fairly popular, it was a popular drink with the young and anyone really, because it was cheap and very alcoholic. But it was a fortified wine.
Yeah, we call that Ripple here.
Same idea.
You beat me to it.
If you Google Buckfast, you'll find it.
Actually good.
Oh, right, Bob. That's news to me. I've not tried any. I know British beer is excellent. That's the bit I know about. But you can't beat a bit of Bucky.
Hey, this is a family show.
Buckfast, Tommy.
Oh, I misinterpreted what you said.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that exciting note, we should probably do some news while we're here. And so Ian's in with the first story, and his is all about cheap ass booze.
We'll give you a real story if you want to get there. And here's a real story that's interesting. There's a lot of interesting news today, actually, of different sort of techie things, but I found this one quite interesting. Again, we've talked a lot about AI on the show.
Oh, I wondered if someone might bring this, and here it is. And
this is fascinating. Sony World Photography Awards this year, one of the winners submitted a photo, a beautiful black and white image of a mother, I think it's a mother and daughter, and he got awarded the best, he got awarded one of the best photographer, my best images, and he's refusing the things he created it with AI. And his argument is, AI is not photography, therefore I will not accept the award. AI images and photography should not compete with other in a war like this. They're not the same thing, because it's not because he's not generated that from real life humans. It's a computer has worked out a couple of things and merged together, I imagine, a couple of images. But is that the artist, a guy called Boris Elgers, he's German. Patrice, help me out.
He's German. It doesn't look like a German name. Boris Elgersen.
Yeah,
he's a German artist.
Yeah,
okay, no, sounds it says Scandinavian, it says but okay.
He says he's a guy. He says he's German. So there we go. So
I mean, people move.
Yeah. And so something about this doesn't feel right. He just says, in fact, it's not a real photograph, but a synthetically produced image. I mean, that's fascinating, isn't there?
Well, for me, the fascinating thing is something completely different. How the hell did this win an award? I mean, in my opinion, it's not. I mean, it's neither technical. I mean, you can tell it is generated.
Oh yeah, you can when you look at the eyebrows of the woman.
It's not even, and it's not even a good photo.
No.
So who picked this and why? I want to know.
So my question is: this won an award in what category? In the category of pictures I found in my attic from 1923. Right, because it's clearly not
humans with too many knuckles on their fingers.
Yeah, their hands.
I mean, when
really
I first
goofy.
Saw the photo,
oh yes,
immediately I was looking at the hands, and I'm like, that's either the worst case of arthritis ever, or there are too many knuckles on each finger.
I mean, it's also when you look at her face, the particularly sort of HD eyebrows, they look quite and the eye. Looks quite unnatural. It's all a bit uncanny valley. Right. When you look at the image closely, you can see some of it has smacks of as the good old uncanny valley kind of idea. But yeah, no, it was just one of those things where you think, I guess this was going to happen at some point. Someone was going to throw this out. It was going to go. Yeah, I made this one up. But I thought it might go the other way and it'd be a situation where someone was passing off. Yeah.
It's not even a competition, like some whatever local group that maybe doesn't know any better, some like amateur photography group or something. I mean, nothing against amateurs, because I mean, we know a couple that like take a lot of really great photos.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I could, like, if someone isn't like doing those kinds of events professionally, then maybe they might not notice. But I mean,
Sony?
This is, what is it? Sony?
World Photography Award.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
I'm like, just scrolling now to see if I can find the image.
Did they even look at the image?
They probably had AI rank the images for them.
Oh, yeah. Now it starts to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So the same AI that generated it also ranked it as the best. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. the only way to me this makes sense is if they misheard Sony and heard the word phony instead.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I'm wondering, is there something that was going on behind the scenes where there was some sort of collaboration so that this guy could be put in the spotlight to make a statement. Right. I mean, yes, I'm totally That's crafting a conspiracy theory out of thin air.
Well, he said he did it to bring attention to the issue of AI-generated photos. So that was his intention. It's not a giant leap to think maybe he was in cahoots with the organization.
I mean, to be fair, this particular image was in the creative open category. I mean, in there, while using AI, surely that would be creative category, surely we're open game to be using computer manipulated, computer generated images. Doesn't make.
And this was the best they had in that category. I mean, who knows what was submitted? So. Maybe all the other submissions were, I don't know, 2 year olds who accidentally took a photo with their parents' camera or something. I don't know. Yeah, that might have been better.
I do have to say,
it's in the eye of the beholder. Sorry, Ben, go.
Yeah, I do have to say this is very clearly appropriate for this day, because whoever chose this photo was obviously high.
For those of you that aren't up on Ben's joke, today is April 20th, 2023 in the United States, where when we write a date, we do month, day, year. So that would be 4/20/2023. And 4/20 is slang in the U.S. for marijuana. Now everyone can laugh at the joke.
Where did that come from? Wasn't it like a proposition 4/20 or something?
It was a group of students, according to my Googling. When I was confused what you guys were on about. It was a group of students. We're going to meet at 4/20 to have the first smoke of the day. And that was from whence it came. Bob disagrees with us and says it was a very striking. I mean, I like it. I have to say, I'm with Bob and I like it. I like the image. It's an interesting image. It's a very interesting image. Well, Bob, what do you think? Do you think, are you happy it's AI? There's a question. So Bob's in our chat room, by the way, and is joining in with us today. And well, you too, if you're joined in. I mean,
I wonder if they just need to start having competitions for, you know, the best people that are best at creating prompts for Midjourney, you know.
I mean, that would actually be very interesting. Having an AI competition and saying, like, who can create the most interesting photo using AI? That would be super interesting.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure
both of you are reading my mind.
Yeah, you can bet your life next year, one of the Sony World categories will be AI-generated images. And then there's a place for it.
And I don't blame the photographer / the person who submitted it. Like, I mean,
No.
Like, totally made sense from that perspective. It was, yeah, okay, fine. You can do that. I'm just questioning the selection process.
Yeah.
I was but I don't know. I mean, maybe, as I said, maybe in that category, there wasn't anything better. Mm. Who knows?
Who knows?
I mean, it's either that or someone was trying to make a statement.
I mean, possibly.
I think there was an amount
it
of
got,
that.
I mean, it got them it got them in the BBC and everything. So
it's
so it worked.
It's across most of the news now. I mean, if you look, it's across most of the news networks.
Yeah, I saw
BBC,
it.
BBC, VARP, CNN, Sky News. Yeah, it's across most of the Guardian. Yeah, it's across most of the news networks.
Which is no surprise, considering that AI is a hot topic in general, which in one aspect is kind of ironic, since it's AI that people are all hot and bothered about and in the news and getting all worked up emotionally about either good or bad, when they should actually be getting worked up about large language models, because that's what most people are experiencing, and they're not experiencing actual AI.
That is true. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, honestly, the like what AI means, the goalpost has moved like 17,000 times since it was invented. So
it's okay,
like,
that's
who's
fair
to say what it is?
It's a very fluid term.
Yeah. Like whenever there's a jump in let's call it machine learning, which is also just one aspect, in a whatever computer intelligence, whatever you want to call it, whenever there was a jump in technology, the goalpost of AI was moved. Oh, it's not that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So. We've passed Turing. We have probably passed the Turing test already. Doesn't make it intelligent.
I agree. and based on how some people have reacted to AI interactions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think in many cases we have moved past the Turing test.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
Doesn't mean much, unfortunately. It means a lot in technology, but it doesn't mean much.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, ultimately the purpose of the Turing test is to trick people into thinking you're human.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We've set that bar and surpassed it with many of these systems.
Mm-hmm.
Patricia Wright, doesn't make them intelligent, just makes them capable of tricking humans into thinking they're interacting with a human. Yeah. All right, Ben, tell us about your story about the company that has been absorbed and is now referred to as Titter.
Yes, we will move on here to an entity nobody will mistake for a human, Elon Musk.
Yes.
Doesn't right. pass the Turing test.
We're on to this week in Elon Musk. What has the city bugger done this time?
He's gotten himself into a giant fight with one of the largest companies in the world.
Mm-hmm.
This week, Microsoft announced that due to his new fees for the API platform, Microsoft was pulling its social media management tool advertising out of Twitter. It would have cost $42,000 a month, which is probably less than Satya Nadella's Starbucks bill.
Also, the first three digits are 420.
Just coincidentally.
God.
Accident.
This is like serendipity in real time.
Yeah.
Okay.
That price is not a coincidence.
No, it is definitely not. Not when you're dealing with the high school locker room humor of Elon Musk.
Yes. So, but anyway, you know, Microsoft's advertising platform will still be available on Facebook, Instagram, and its own LinkedIn. Now Elon Musk is alleging that Microsoft used Twitter to train train ChatGPT, which mm-hmm. Microsoft is a major donor to OpenAI. And he is now threatening to sue Microsoft.
Of course he is. I mean, he's a man child. Of course he is.
Yes. I do have to say one thing with this. For the man who has a poop emoji instead of a PR, and probably does not listen to any of his advisors.
No. You think?
Probably not.
If he has some, if he even has some.
Yeah, Microsoft is lawyered up to is lawyered up the wazoo. Good luck.
Yeah.
Well, he
yeah.
might be a little bit busy with that little rocket problem that they had this morning in Florida.
Yeah.
Maybe the unscheduled disassembly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe he won't be spending so much time worried about Microsoft's OpenAI scraping Twitter.
Yeah.
The
Twitter rules. Like constantly removing protections for people and like allowing all kinds of hate to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And there's some irony here too, because Twitter just changed, and I think it was this week, their terms of service, so that any, I guess I'll call it art content. So that would be photographs, images, whatever, that users post on Twitter now become the or gives Twitter a license to use that content in perpetuity as they wish, including to train their own AI system.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
More and more, no. Run away, Twitter, no. No.
Yeah. Oh, and Patrice, I just saw you dropped a link into the chat about about Twitter dead naming. Or, excuse me, Twitter killing the policy prohibiting dead naming and misgendering people.
Mm-hmm. Which is only one of many similar stories. Like, they've been step-by-step removing any kind of protections.
Doesn't Elon have a trans kid?
He does.
And his his daughter,
what's wrong,
I believe,
with this guy?
Apparently wants nothing to do with him.
Yeah, that's
unsurprising, really.
I know, total shocker.
I mean, that probably predates all of this, but
yeah.
But this is just validation for that decision.
That's a nutcase.
You know, when Elon bought Twitter, I don't remember if I said it here or somewhere else. I probably said it on multiple shows. I didn't expect Twitter to just one day, boom, shut down and it's gone. I expected it to be this slow, painful attrition of functionality. And
rapid, unexpected disassembly.
Okay, so yes. Here we are. So it's happening faster than I predicted. But
yeah,
he's an overachiever.
And so I'm not saying this because I'm like, ha ha, I was right. But damn. This is one of those times where I wish I hadn't been right, but there you go.
Yeah. And just imagine, I mean, there have been, I think at this point, probably tens, if not hundreds of thousands of developers who worked on Twitter over the years. And to see your work kind of fall apart, or not even fall apart, be like actively destroyed this way, must be really, really hard.
Yeah, I imagine it would be really hard.
But I mean, if you were a person that worked hard on Twitter for 10 years, to see this must just be horrible.
Yeah.
But I have to say, between the constant negative press on Twitter, the not so well dealings of Tesla these days, and his moon rocket literally blowing up, this is not looking good for Musk.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, I can't blame him on, like, the rocket. That's just, I mean, space is hard, and that happens all the time. So I'm kind of expected that the first launch might not go well. It's kind of why they do it. Like, that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, objectively, that's not a terrible thing, but perception becomes reality.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. And it's basically, you have, I mean, this public narrative is encroaching closer into that he's incompetent, that he does not pay attention to enough of his stuff to actually run the stuff.
Which usually might be a good thing, but like, him not paying attention to anything.
Maybe he's been paying more attention to SpaceX recently. I mean, I kind of agree that, you know, launching rockets is hard and rockets blow up all the time. You know, the Apollo mission, Gemini, you know, they had multiple failures. And I'm kind of with you, Patrice and Ben, that if it wasn't Elon, it'd be, that this stuff happens. But you know what? It doesn't happen as often as it used to.
True.
You know, people are much better about testing things before they get to the launch pad. So it is more unusual for a rocket to blow up on launch.
It's true, yeah.
It still happens. It's not totally, it still happens. But, you know, you can imagine at a place that Elon runs, it's, you know, just ship it, whatever. Let's see what
happens. I mean, especially for a company that has done rockets before. Like, I mean, if it was like, I think there was last year, I don't remember the company, there was another company that's kind of creating their own rocket and trying to compete with SpaceX. I mean, for them, it's totally expected because they have never done this before. Like, the thing they're doing is new for them and they have to figure it out, even with all the expertise and the NASA like looking over it and so on, like that's expected. But for a company like SpaceX that has not just like done like created one rocket but multiple rockets in the past, I mean, yeah, sure, it's still a new thing and there's still a risk in that, but they should be better at it than others.
Yeah, I mean, it's a brand new rocket, it's much bigger, it's probably you know, much different technology. As Bob was mentioning about the Apollo blowups, it was really the NASA space program in the early launches. Go on YouTube, you can see rockets going
but again,
crazy. But
something that they hadn't done before.
They didn't have rockets blowing up on launch once they worked all the kinks out, you know, in the original days. And, you know, SpaceX is not a brand new company. Like you said, they should be beyond that.
And now, granted, we don't have insider access to what's going on at SpaceX. So based on what we could see from the public facing side, to me, it felt like scheduling this, this rocket test was premature because the primary spacecraft it's barely functional. And the fact that they were able to get a single landing out of one of these rockets, what was, I mean, first, yes, it was great, but it also felt like it was totally by the seat of their pants. And if it was a sports team, they'd say it's an ugly win, but we'll take it anyhow.
Yeah, and that actually does sound a lot like Elon.
Right.
Like pushing something beyond what's possible and like doing something earlier than you should. That sounds like it.
Full self-driving, anybody?
Well, I mean, but the problem is if that happens with a whole crew of NASA astronauts on it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
I was going to say, he would go from billionaire to working at McDonald's overnight.
Yeah, I mean, NASA would never allow that to happen. Like, as long as it's uncrewed and the risk is, like, let's say, limited, they will, like, just allow them to fail. Like, it's not, but the second day is, like, I mean, that's why they have to do some tests and all of that, get the green light from NASA before they can do anything.
And they will get a lot of valuable data out of this rocket failure.
And that's one might be one of the reasons they were willing to push it, because you really can't determine everything that's going to go wrong until you test launch one of these rockets in an unmanned configuration.
For sure. And I mean, I feel bad for the people who've worked on it, because I mean, that was a lot of hard work. Like the money, secondary, but a lot of hard work that went into that, and it blew up. And I mean, sure, they got data out of it, but it still sucks.
Yeah, I'm sure they would have been a lot happier had the spacecraft reached orbit and returned to the launch pad intact.
Yeah, even if there were problems, even if there was like not everything was perfect, if that had happened, I think they would have been quite happy.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so let's move on to Tom, your story. So I guess this is a different type of leak instead of whatever poured out of a rocket. This poured out of someone's mouth.
Oh my God.
Right. And first thing I'm going to do is apologize. The site that this link goes to is one of those crazy ad-filled sites. But the gist of the story is, AMD, you know, like most companies, is pretty tight-lipped about their future plans about CPUs and when they're coming out, what the name of them is, and what silicon technology they're going to use. And so the message of this story is, be careful what you post on LinkedIn. And apparently an engineer basically went through his or her, I'm not sure if it's a guy or a woman, work history, and basically outlined all the different code names for the different generations of AMD processors and what silicon technology they're going to use. You know, so this person worked on power management project based on Zen 5 in parentheses 3-nanometer processor for servers. And I just laughed at this story because I used to use LinkedIn to get this information, A, about our competitors, and B, about our customers. And it's just it always amazes me how much confidential information people put in their LinkedIn profile. And I don't know that companies spend a whole lot of time scrubbing all their people's LinkedIn profiles. That could be a lot of work.
Well, they clearly don't.
But I used it all the time. No.
And this is not an uncommon issue. Like, a lot of IP gets leaked in job interviews.
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of similar to the job interview leaking, you know, source of leaks. Yeah. But I'm just wondering if anybody else uses LinkedIn for competitive info like I do. And apparently,
yes,
somebody's paying attention. Yeah, somebody's paying attention. They found this one.
Yeah. I have a look through just to see what the competitors are up to.
Yeah. There's a reason my LinkedIn is fairly vague.
Yeah. My LinkedIn There are definitely specific details. However, there's nothing in there related to anything that I have ever done that would fall under an NDA.
Yeah.
Right. I think just having your basic employment history, you know, I worked here, here's my job title, you know, much beyond that is, you know, why bother? You just want people to be able to find you. Mm-hmm. You know,
I wouldn't say so. There is some, I mean, for me as someone who's also hiring, there is some value in having some extra information, but you don't have to like disclose anything. Like,
Skills. Yeah. For your basic.
Yeah. You can say, okay, whatever. Yeah. I had like the team was about this big and this is roughly what I did. Like, you don't have to provide details, but to like give an idea, okay, this is what the tasks roughly were, like in very broad terms. But you don't have to give any, like, we work with outsourcing companies where I don't even get the company that they worked for before, and I don't need that. That's not information that's, like, they just say, whatever, financial fintech company from US, for example. That's okay.
Right.
Gives me enough information. I don't need more than that.
Especially for the primary benefit of LinkedIn, which is recruiting. Mm-hmm. Finding a job and finding people to hire. I mean, unfortunately, I only check LinkedIn a couple days a week these days because I don't work anymore. But it seems like it looks more and more like almost like Facebook to me.
It does.
There's a lot more posts that are not work. Yeah, it's a professional Facebook and a lot more PR. I think PR people have figured out that LinkedIn is a good source for clicks, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a lot more crap, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, but when it comes to finding a new job, if you leak your company's IP on that, nobody's going to hire you.
Yeah, it's a bad move from right. That's why, in an interview, if somebody would tell me something that was clearly confidential from the company where they currently worked, and I was interviewing for them for a position, that's just a killer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
You know. You're going to lie about your current company. Guess what you're going to do if I hire you? It's amazing how many people don't realize how dumb that is.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's just a little story, but I thought it was kind of funny. It's kind of like leaving the iPhone prototype at the bar, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God, yes. Right? I forgot about that, but that was such a big deal when it happened. Yeah. Oh my God. Okay, so... what I would have done instead of saying that I worked on power management processes based on each of these chips for servers, I would have said worked on on power management for server processors.
Keep it as vague as possible.
Yeah, that, and that's good enough. If I'm looking to recruit somebody, that's good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't need to know what nanometer process is being used.
You'd be surprised to learn that's now disappeared from his LinkedIn profile.
That's kind of surprising.
I was just having a look.
Even enumerating kind of year by year what this person was working on, you know, it could just be one thing. I worked at AMD. I worked on power management. I worked on a variety of processors for servers. And I have these skills. That's all they need to put in there.
I mean, that's what he says now. Block level eight, CPU management, power management on AMD's latest x86 CPU projects. And that's as detailed as it needs to be. And that's what he says now. Right. That's what it is now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what he had was fine if he was going for internal advancement.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely.
But
even then, external... you sometimes have to be careful. But
yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Depending on what company you work for.
Well, yeah, and I mean, like, whether the project you work on is still secret, even internally. Like,
yeah,
not every
yeah.
project is disclosed to everybody.
Yeah, for mm-hmm. sure.
Man, this guy's stats, or this person's stats, excuse me, since I don't know. But anyhow, so this person's stats on LinkedIn for views have to have gone through the roof.
Oh, yeah.
What a surprise. 100%. What a surprise.
You've appeared in 12,000 searches today.
Yes.
That might help.
All over the world.
Yeah. And okay, so if I were a recruiter and I saw this whole story about this guy's profile, I would go in and try and recruit him as an industrial espionage agent.
Or I honestly, if I wasn't a more scrupulous reporter, this is the kind of guy that you would set up a fake job interview for to see what you can get out of him for a scoop.
Oh, yes. Well, right. Or the other way around. Get him like to interview at other companies to get from them like inside.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think Intel is probably calling this person and saying, hey, we have a great job for you. Would you like to interview?
Right.
And then, oh, I'm sorry, the position hasn't been filled. Thank you very much for the interviews, though.
Yeah.
Our attorneys.
Do you have any diagrams?
Wasn't that an episode of Silicon Valley where they tried to find an investor and basically disclosed their entire like code base or their architecture, at least to them?
That was. I missed that show. It was a funny show.
It was.
Yeah.
Speaking of funny shows. Yeah, like you
how
know, the best.
How did I not know this?
Yeah,
the best Star Trek movie ever was
Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
So apparently, there is quite strong indications that we will get a new TV show around that. There's not a lot of detail. It's been in development for a little while. Like we don't even know if the original cast at all is going to be involved. I mean, Alan Rickman for sure will not be.
He's been dead a while now, hasn't he? So,
So we know that.
Unless they deepfake an extra.
Oh, they could totally do that.
Yeah, they could.
Yeah, they could totally do that. Yeah. I thought like with all the other hard hitting news, like let's do something fun. Paramount Plus is, by the way, I think interested in it. So
that seems
fits with their brand.
Completely appropriate.
Right?
Yeah.
Totally fits with their brand. It's a beloved show. They will have a built-in audience already. I mean, I think the Venn diagram between like Galaxy Quest and Star Trek is a circle. So.
I think that's right. Yeah.
So, and probably all or almost all Star Trek shows are on Paramount Plus because that's where all the Star Trek shows are. All the Star Trek fans are on Paramount Plus because that's where Star Trek shows are.
So why not have the best Star Trek movie as a series on Paramount Plus?
Yeah, and I mean, this is the time for it. I mean, after like all the cool things that Paramount has done with Star Trek and with the other really good Star Trek show that's not Star Trek, that I'm blanking on the name on now.
The Orville. Good Star Trek
the Orville,
show
yes. The Orville.
Oh, the Orville. Okay.
The Orville. I was like, why am I forgetting names? But this is today. I'm forgetting all names left, right, and center right now. Yeah, I mean, that, and with that also being, I would say, surprisingly successful, I think not a lot of people were expecting that. I mean, other than Scott McFarlane, probably. I mean, this is right now, I think, the best time for sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
We are getting lots and lots of good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's more stuff coming from Paramount or on Star Trek. I mean, there's a Section 31 movie that's coming.
Yeah, I saw that. That looked interesting.
That was an announcement. There's probably other stuff.
Yeah, there's been talk about the possibility of a new series called Star Trek Legacy, although it's just been talk.
Yeah, wasn't there something with the Academy, Star Trek Academy, I think I heard?
Yep, Star Trek Academy has been announced as the follow-on to Discovery.
Yeah, exactly. So that's happening. So there's like, I mean, there's a lot of money and momentum behind it. So yeah, this works. And it is it is already a quite rich universe with the little that we got in the movie. So.
It is. I would watch the crap out of a Galaxy Quest TV series.
Me too.
All I can say is this: never give up, never surrender.
Still one of my favorite things, like favorite quotes, and I always say it.
Mm-hmm.
If someone says I give up, I always say never give up, never surrender.
Yeah. I want to point out that both now of the transitions that I was going to use to talk about TSO host, Ben has stolen the first one. He dropped
it. I put it in the chat. I didn't say it.
Yep. So the transition I was going to use initially was by Grabthar's hammer, we love TSO hosts. And then, but he dropped a Grabthar's hammer transition line into the chat, so I was like, well, now I have to come up with something else, and so it was going to be just like TSO hosts, we never give up and never surrender. and now you do that. Oh man!
So what you're saying is we trailed a bunch of minds right into your
we are the hive mind.
Yes. So instead I will just say something like who designs these things? Fans? Anyhow. Since Ben ruined my transition, I will just simply say that TSO Hosts is awesome, much like both transitions that I had come up with. Patrice, you were very inspirational because I came up with two good ones, so good that Ben was able to come up with something similar and ruin both of them for me. Ben, I am not angry at you. I'm actually impressed. Much like I'm impressed with TSO Hosts. They are here for us every single week, and they're giving us that bandwidth we need so we can live stream content like this for you every week. And they're giving us the hosting space we need so that we can have a website here for you. And they're giving us that server space we need to host all the files so you can watch or listen to your favorite episodes whenever you want. How can they do that? Well, first, because they're really nice people. But second, because this is what their business is. They do web hosting and they help people buy domain names and they do their job really well. And their servers are super stable. Like our website never goes down and you never have problems watching the show either live or when you check out the recordings later, everything just works. So without TSO hosts, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. It would be as if we had lost our Captain Taggart. We would not be able to fly. So they are giving us what we need to do, because it would be impossible for us to come up with the resources on our own. So they're incredibly generous that way. So we really, really do appreciate that TSO host is here supporting the British Tech Network. Now, what you can do is just go online and tell TSO host that you appreciate that they're here supporting BTN. That's it. Super easy. And it's a nice little bit of karma. If, however, you are ready to buy a domain name, or you want some web hosting, go to TSO host, because we are proving every single week just how solid they are. And because you're a BTN fan, they're going to give you a special deal. Get your domain name, get your hosting, all that, get that in your cart. Then add the discount code BTN20 and you'll get 20% off your order. So thank you to TSO host for being here and supporting us, and making sure that we do have the bandwidth we need so that Ben can screw up my transitions and yet I still will come up with something. Hey, Patrice, mm-hmm. Would you mind telling people about the chat, please?
Oh, I don't mind at all. So if the for the people listening right now, live, head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and you can also be in the chat room, like everybody in the chat room right now, like Bob Beach, and I see a Ben in there and some turn it off person and Jeff and so on. Like, there's mm-hmm. some cool things. That is where you find all the links that we posted. Also, not just the stories that we talk about, but also like add-on things, like extra stories and related links and so on. And finding comments and all of that. Not everything gets mentioned on the show. If you want to listen live, by the way, Thursdays, usually 7 p.m. UK time for the big show, so for this one, and Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. Check our website and our social media channels, because sometimes we have to reschedule, like today, and that happens. It's not very often, but it does happen. So keep an eye on that. And then head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and you can talk to us live. That's how easy it is. But let's say, like, you are listening to this in the recorded form, in the pod. That's what a podcast is for. Like, it's a recorded audio thing, medium. Totally fine. Like, go for it. I listen to a lot of podcasts. We all do it. Totally fine. You obviously can't do the live chat anymore because that's past. But you can still see what we talked about, see all the cool things and the links and everything. And all you have to do for that is take your favorite browser of choice, whatever that is, point it. I don't know if it works in Netscape, by the way, so maybe something more modern. I don't know. Maybe it still works. I have never tried that.
Someone tried in Lynx. Let us know.
Yeah, let us know, please. Head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a calendar that pops up and you put in today's date. And since we mentioned it already, it's 4/20, April 20th, 2023. And then you're in and you can see everything that we've talked about. That easy.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice. I do appreciate that you handle that for me.
Anytime.
Awesome. How about twice a week?
I really enjoy doing that twice a week.
And I enjoy it too, so thank you. Which brings us to the cool thing. And Patrice, you already have one here in the chat. Yeah. Tell us about your cool thing.
So yeah, my cool thing is a follow-up to last week. So last week I talked about a Naomi Novik book about a school for wizards. And this week I talk about Naomi Novik's book about a school for wizard, because it's the second book for that series. It's like, I think, a trilogy technically. I don't know, maybe she plans more, I don't know. Okay, now it says trilogy. It's The Last Graduate. So basically the follow-on story, like from last time, like She graduate. She is about to graduate. She's in her senior year. So the main character, and yeah, things don't go as planned, like as she had imagined it. Like she was expecting something, like learning like a lot of things and certain classes she had to take, and like how it usually goes. And then a big graduation fight at the end where she hopefully survives doesn't work out that way. And that is the second book. I mean, she does graduate, hence the title, The Last Graduate.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the rest, you have to read. It is a really cool book. I really enjoyed the series. I finished it already. So you could expect maybe next week, if I don't remember what I actually wanted to do as a cool thing today, maybe next week you'll get the third book. But it is a really, really good book. I listened to it on Audible. It's really well written. It's interesting. It's fun. It's like it has everything. Like her grumpiness is always a source for entertainment, stuff like that. So
it's on my Kindle. It's one of my next ones to read.
And I can tell you one thing: the third book is awesome. Like it goes like the thing I liked is it never goes in like the way you thought it would. Unlike some other book from another author that shall stay unnamed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She who shall not be named.
That is excellent.
Yeah.
And, okay, so I just clicked on her name because
mm-hmm.
I mean she sounded so familiar already. And not just because you have mentioned her before.
Mm.
And so I clicked on the photo. I recognize Naomi Novik. And now my brain is just churning away. I'm trying to figure out where I met her, because I'm certain that I have met her in person.
Hmm.
And now it's really? Like, where?
Yeah, I mean, she's from New York originally, but I don't know. I mean, it's possible. Like, I mean, she has also written quite a few books already. Like, this is not her first.
Yeah, it's going to bug me, but eventually it'll click, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I recognize her. And as soon as I saw her face in her photos, like, oh, I've met this woman. I have to figure out where.
Yeah, my first book, at least listed here on Goodreads, is 2006. So she's been at it for a while.
Mm-hmm. She's been at it for a while. All right. Mm-hmm. I'll figure it out. When I do, I'll let you know. Awesome. Okay. So, Ben, that brings us to your very highbrow pick.
Yes. We go from a wonderful author in the pinnacle of literacy to the very epitome of stupidity. I have to ask everyone one question. Do you have TP?
And yes, we know what you need it for.
Yes. Today, season two of Mike Judge's Beavis and Butthead, the follow-up successor of the original 90 series, has launched with two episodes on Paramount Plus. Yeah, yeah. If you are expecting enlightenment, you will not find it here.
Nope.
No, you will not.
If you are looking to laugh your bunghole off, you will get this here.
Yeah, this brings us back to teenage locker room humor. So nice setup, Tom. That's
exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is.
Yes. And fortunately, they are not running any companies that are well known.
I bet you Elon will watch this one, though. Elon will be definitely watching Beavis and Butthead.
Taking notes, no doubt.
Taking notes. That's right.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That's funny.
I have not watched the first season. And I suppose I should, because I remember when Beavis and Butthead was originally on, enjoying watching episodes. At the time, it was very avant-garde.
Definitely, and,
yeah. So yeah. I should watch just to see what it's like now.
And before that, you have to watch the second movie because it's very relevant to the new series.
Okay, then I'll go watch that.
Yep. That is Beavis and Butthead Do the Universe.
If Cher isn't in it, then I'm not interested. All right. So, Ian, see if you can top that.
Oh, I don't know if I can. But I've got a new microphone. Whether or not you can hear my mellifluous tones are clearer than they've been before. I've upgraded on Jeff's recommendation to an excellent, what used to be Blue branding is now owned by Logitech, and it's the Blue Yeti, which is kind of like the next step up, if you like, in podcaster type mics. And it seems to be very good. I use it a lot for video conferencing and stuff anyway, so always need a better mic. I used to use before a Blue Snowball, which is very old. I mean, I've had that since I've been doing these shows, and I've been doing these shows a fair while, so that it's been around a long time. So it was a long due an upgrade. And top tip, I did a bit of searching on eBay. I thought, as if I can buy a secondhand one maybe and get a cheaper one. And I found an open box one with no cable or mount, but no cable or stand, but fully functional. And sure enough, I ordered it and a replacement cable, and I scored it for £30.
Ooh, the great price.
30 Earth pounds, which is like about, what, 35 bucks, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and they retail for about 100 bucks at the moment. So it's worth looking for those open box kind of deals. If you have a look around, you can find something. And I scored it cheap. I'm happy. Nice little bit. It works perfectly well, as you can all hear.
It's a nice microphone. There's a reason why I recommend it. When you start talking with a lot of, I don't want to say microphone snobs, but there's a certain class snobs of microphone user that just rolls their eyes when they hear me tell people, yeah, the Blue Yeti, not the Yeti Pro, the Blue Yeti is a solid microphone. It's a good price, and it's a microphone that will last you for a long time and will serve your needs well. And they're like, oh my God, Behringer, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, people, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Microphone snobs. I love it.
But it's totally true. I just did a talk on Tuesday for like a women's network in the company about podcasting and what I learned from it. And one of the things I told them is like, do not listen to all the people telling you have to buy this gear or that gear. Take something cheap but decent that gets somewhat okay audio quality and just focus on the content. Like if it's your phone in a quiet corner, that's totally enough.
Mm-hmm. You already have all the equipment you need to record a podcast.
You do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now just a bit nicer when you've got a little bit better.
Sure, you can do that later.
That whole thing of once you know you like doing it and it's something you're going to do more of, you think, well, all right, now I'll spend a better money and I'll add a better mic in, a better headset, I'll make try and clean my audio up. You know, and all those kind of things, it comes with it, And a good mic is, and particularly now with our days of a lot of people around the world like me will be a virtual, I am a virtual worker now. I have no office.
Me too.
I work from where I'm sitting right now. And so I spend all my day on Zoom, and it's so much nicer to have a good mic to do that with. And I mean, I've got this naffish headset, but it works fine. I just don't want to have I would have it through the speakers on my computer, but I share my office with my wife, and so she doesn't need to hear all the rubbish that goes on behind me. So it's so completely fine to have a set of ears in. And I'd rather do this than have the little white thing sticking out of my ear holes from Apple.
I mean, if they're more comfortable.
And they're more comfortable.
Yeah. If you want to see me podcast all day, then you have to work with me, because this is literally what people see all day.
Yes,
the setup. Mm-hmm. I don't have a different setup for work.
You can tell when eventually one day I'm going to get this right and point to the right point in my screen where you see my name in the top corner, because if you're watching the video version of this, you'll see this is my background. This is my virtual background for the office.
So, Ian, all you need to do to nail it every single time, take your right hand and just do this. And you will point at your logo.
We couldn't see.
No, just straight up. Just straight up. There you go. Yep. That's it. Yep. You nail it every single time doing that.
That's such good advice. See, podcasting pro right there. Mm-hmm. Podcasting pro. I'd always be going like that for some reason.
No, I know it's mirrored, so I do this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Ian, the reason I was able to confidently say use your right hand is because I've been watching, and as you've moved your hands around, I could see where your wedding ring was. Therefore, I knew which was your left hand. And, yeah. Oh, damn, you have a ring on both hands.
I have my signet ring there for my 18th birthday that I got when I was 18. And then I've got my wedding band on the other hand.
Okay, well, so I got lucky in that I hadn't seen the signet ring, but I did see where the wedding ring was. Anyhow, yeah, there you go. Look right here for Ian's logo. See? Every single time you nail it.
Man. This is why you're a pro.
Let's see. Looks like, Tom, you're next.
All right. I'll be quick with mine. It doesn't require a whole lot of conversation. I saw this article come across. It's called What It's Like to Use a $300 Windows Laptop for a Day. And I think, I recently bought a laptop a couple months ago, and laptops are expensive. Computers are expensive. And I'm always thinking about, what do people without much money do? You know, if they're working or going to school, you need a laptop. And you could go to the refurbished store like I did, but you're still spending $700, $800, $900, $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear a lot of people say, just get a Chromebook. If you can't really afford anything, get a Chromebook. But most of the Chromebooks I see that look halfway decent are like $800, $900.
Right. So just get a laptop.
And I'm always interested in knowing if those, under 500 laptops are even usable. Because they seem like the build quality is pretty crap and so on. So this woman from The Verge, Monica Chin, has a list price of about $480 or $500 laptop that she got for $300 and some. And it's an HP 14 from the HP 14. So it's got it's a Windows machine.
$200 at Best Buy.
Yeah, so it's really cheap. And it's got, it's got an i3, where are the specs again? i3, 4 gigabytes of memory, which is not, RAM, which is not very much, and a 256 gig SSD, which is okay. So you might be a little bit worried about the 4 gig of RAM. That's going to limit what you can do. But it's got plenty of...
two Chrome tabs.
Sure. Right. Yeah. So that's the first thing I thought of. A couple of Chrome tabs. She did do some video calls, I think, on Google Meet or something. She said the fan spun up a couple times with Chrome. And it doesn't sound like she pushed it terribly hard, but she tried a few things and watched some video. Like I said, did some calls, and then I think did some gaming with her friends at the end of the day. So I'm sure it's problematic, and you can't have 20 tabs open in any browser. But heck, like you say, at Best Buy for $200 or even $250, it seems like a viable machine for somebody that needs. I'm not a fan of HP laptops, but I was actually surprised that it was as usable as it is.
Yeah, I mean, that does surprise
given
me.
Given it's from HP, yes.
I mean, my advice has always been to... go to eBay, go find one of the many sort of companies that refactor all of the old laptops that come out of corporate contracts. So find a nice high-spec laptop from a corporate contract. It'll still have a good camera. It'll still have a good hardware spec. And it was built for the corporate market, so it's designed to take it rough and tumble. And it's also designed to be good performance, or okay performance, to be honest. And you can often score, again, you can often pick one of those up for $200-$300, around that kind of money, and you'll get a much more powerful machine. And those are really good value, and parts are always available for them because they were built for the corporate market.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Those are great machines. The challenge is for a person going to high school or something, they don't know how to find those machines, right? There's so much crap on eBay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. a good Elite book or a good ThinkPad, or a ThinkPad, a Latitude, or
those are great machines.
Those are, because those are the proper corporate ones. None of this Inspirons and none of those other Inspire and all that other rubbish, because that's the same plastic nonsense as that one is. But or a good old ThinkPad, they're built properly. It will last.
Yep, and that's exactly where I got my machine. I used as my Hackintosh, University of Platteville Surplus.
Right,
exactly that idea. It's a good place to find. Mm-hmm. Also, a cheap desktop machine if you want something that's just going to sit on a desk with a screen attached and do a bit of internet stuff. Go buy an X Corporate, one of these little slimline machines. You can buy the ones that are on the really tiny form factors, and again, 100, 200. We'll find you a really good one on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
Dirt cheap and they're excellent.
All right. Well, then I think that my pick will fit in nicely. I have a new charger and data cable. And it's this. And the one that I have is the 6.5 foot version, which is currently out of stock. So I did a link for that 10 foot version. Okay, so super durable cable. Like, they have photos of people using, like, throwing them over a tree branch and hanging from them. And cap pops off. Okay, and magnets to hold both of the ends together. So it's lightning here, USB A here, unless you pop that open and then have USB on both ends. So you have a cable that can do USB to lightning, or USB A to lightning, USB C to lightning, USB A to USB C, and USB C straight through. Did I get all of them? I think I did. And then it also comes with this little piece that I'm not using anywhere because this is going in a bag. But this is adhesive on the back, so you can put it like on the wall or on the edge of a desk or whatever. So you can have one end of the cable plugged into a hub or a charger, and the other end, instead of having to find some place to like loop it around or whatever, just use this, pop it onto that, and now the other end is just hanging wherever you need it for easy access.
That's pretty cool.
And
that does look nice.
Has a little Velcro strap, which just Velcroed itself, so that you can keep it all wound up. And yeah, so anyhow, it's, holy crap, this thing is really cool. And this one was, I want to say, like $35. And the one that's in stock right now, the longer one, the 10-foot version, 3 meters, for those of you in the real world, $39. Super cool. And
I love USB-C, sort of, you know. It's nice to have one connector. And, of course, you have all the standards problems, right? Not all USB-Cs are the same. But the problem with it, even though USB-A is fairly old, I still have a huge mix of USB-A and USB-C. It drives me nuts. Just drives me nuts.
Same. Yep.
And this microphone, this has got a mini B on the top. So I had to buy a new cable for that. And I bought the replacement cable. A mini B. What? Who uses a mini B now?
Well, you do.
Come on, that. Yeah, well, obviously I do.
You do now, yeah.
Yeah, they've sold another cable to another sucker. Why can't it have USB-C on the top? I'd be very happy with that. Everything with USB-C on, I'd be very happy.
I'll tell you why. It's because they have not updated the components in that, and which is one of the reasons why you can buy it for $99.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm with you. Why not replace that mini USB whatever plug and just put a USB-C on it.
So weird.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So this was a fun mix of cool things today. All right. Well, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me every week here on The Big Show on Thursdays, also The Mac Show on Fridays, if you're into the Apple side of things, since we usually don't talk Apple on this show. You can find everything I'm doing, all the social medias, the podcasts, the projects, literally everything on thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really cool people talk about food and food-related memories and stories and just everything that goes with that, head over to foodieflashback.com for my interview show.
Awesome. Awesome. Ben, where can people find you?
You can find me on the social medias at Ben Raythig. Like everybody else now, I do not have a blue check on Twitter.
Is mine finally gone?
The apocalypse happened while we were on the show.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yep. You can also find me at my website, raythig.tech. You can find me on the following podcasts. Tonight, In Touch with iOS with Dave Ginsberg. Mac Voices every Thursday, or not Thursday, every Tuesday with Chuck Joyner. Obviously here every Thursday. And every Friday morning, tomorrow, very early morning for the Mac Show.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow, very early morning. That's my fault again. Sorry, everyone.
Yes, tomorrow's Mac Show will be presented to you by caffeine.
Yes, it will. Everyone is welcome to show up in pajamas. Yeah. Tom, where can people find you?
People can find me on in the BTN Slack and also on Mastodon at tomf@sfba.social. Thanks, Jeff.
Awesome. And Ian, where can people find you?
Me, I'm here every Thursday on The Big Show. And if I'm not here, you can find me on LinkedIn. But I'm not giving away company secrets on my LinkedIn profile. That's the other place, usually easiest thing to find me. Ian Grant, Tech Trainer Beam. That's it.
Maybe your company is secret.
Yeah. Secret. Yeah. I'm glad you're smart. Yeah. That's good for job security. Okay. That means I'm the only one that's left, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So on the socials, Twitter and no, not Twitter. That popped in my head because Ben told me that my blue check is finally gone. If you go and look on Twitter, you're not going to see much from me because I don't go there anymore. Mastodon and Instagram, that's where to look for content from me. Jay Gamut on both. And then for shows, Tuesdays with Ben on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live. Then here on Thursdays for The Big Show, then Thursday evenings with Ben again on Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS, then back here again on Fridays for The Mac Show, and then also on The Context Machine because Brian Chaffin and I have teamed up again. And I did Charlotte Henry's show this week, and if I was smart, I would have had a link to drop into the chat, and I don't. Anyhow, that was a lot of fun. We talked about some of our favorite streaming shows, and it's always a treat to talk with Charlotte. Okay, so thank you to all of you for being here and just making me smile. I do enjoy getting to hang out with all of you every single week. Then for everyone that's watching or listening live, thank you for being here. If you've been participating in the chat, thank you for being part of that as well. Everyone that watches or listens later, I'm so glad you're part of the BTN family as well. And Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. I hope you feel better soon. Being sick just sucks. And thank you to Tioso Host for being here and supporting us every single week. Give them some online love. And with that, be sure and tune in next Thursday for the big show again. And then join us tomorrow. We're starting how much earlier than normal?
An hour and a half.
An hour and a half earlier than normal because my schedule got kind of screwed up. So, yeah. So thank you for everyone being here. Don't forget about the screwy showtime for tomorrow. Join us again next week for the big show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.